the past, we've spoken about some of the nafkaminas between a behema, a chaya, and an oif. They have certain dinim that are different from one another. Today we're speaking about yet another difference, and that is that the Torah says that if you shech the behema, not a chaya and not an oif, but if you shech specifically the behema, meaning a cow, a sheep, or a goat, then, the person needs to take from that animal and give matnas kahuna. He needs to give the zroya l'chayayim v'keva. Three parts of the animal have to be given to a kohen. They have to be given to they can be given to a male kohen or a female kohen, even a female kohen who's married to Yisrael. And these three parts have to be given to those. These three matnas kahuna have to be given from an animal you shecht. Just any old animal you shecht need to be given from a behema. You need to give these matnas kahuna. What are these three parts? So the zroya is that it's from the animal's right forearm, its front arm on the right side, and on that forearm has three bones to it, and the zroya includes, the Gemara says, the zroya includes the top two bones. Top two bones are, as you see here sort of in the picture, that the zroya is the top two bones of those three, that's the zroya, and of the right hand. Lo chayayim means the lechi is the lower jaw, lower jawbone, and it means the lechayayim, means on both sides, the jawbone, which includes some of the surrounding parts, and for the most ones that have the most relevance to us, that includes the tongue and the cheek meat. That's lechayayim. And the keva is the fourth stomach inside the animal. It includes some other parts also, so the fats, the ayasra, and the akashta. We've spoken about in the past what those are, different fats. And the keva is not something that most people want to eat, but the keva is used in making cheese, and has value for using for making cheese. So these matnas kuna don't have any kedusha to them. And once you give them to the kohen can allow Yisrael to eat them. Each kohen can sell them to Yisrael also. They don't have kedusha to them, but they need to be given to the kohen. The meat doesn't become treif if you don't give it, but they need to be given to the kohen. It's a mitzvah of matnas kuna. So the question is, if you just want to clarify or talk about it, is, do we have to give these matnas kuna nowadays when we shecht an animal? Do we have to give them? So one simple reason why they would not be not mechuyev to give them is because you're not mechuyev to give matnas kahuna for not mechuyev to give the matnas kahuna for the animal that belongs to goy. And the Rama even speaks out. He says like this. He describes very much what we have in our shkitas, which is the makom shenagim lishchay etzel avdi kacham, like in the places where the yidin shecht by the goyim. And what do? Im nimtza treifa nishalahem. And the arrangement is that if the animal will be a treifa, the goyim will keep it. Im nimtza ksheira loicha Yisrael. The yid will keep it if it's not a treifa. Then patur min hamatanas. There's no chiyuv of matnas kahuna in that case. It's considered the goy's animal. And only the yid takes it, only certain ones of them. So like nowadays we have many shechitas that are set up like that. Probably most are set up that when the yidin do their shechita, the nevelas and the trefas and the hindquarters all go to the goyim, and the yidin only take the ones very specific parts that they take. So that would be a reason why, at least in those cases, you'd be patur from matnas kahuna. Okay, but but there's even a more fundamental reason why there's no chiyuv matnas kahuna, and that's because the machabes is like this: matnas kahuna noyegus b'chamokim bein ba'aretz bein b'chotzaretz. Matnas kahuna are not a mitzvah tchui ba'aretz, and then it's yichayiv in this mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael or in b'chotzaretz bein b'fnei abayis bein shalei b'fnei abayis. It makes a difference if it's based on mikdash either. Okay, that means in Chicago we're mechuyev to do this. There are those who say you're not mechuyev to give matnas kahuna. These matnas kahuna chutzarts v'chein nagu, and the minhag is like that. Which now, although he says yesh mishaymer, it's only a yesh mishaymer to say like that. But lemaisa is in practice that the minhag in fact is like that to not give matnas kahuna. Now there always were yechide segula who used to give matnas kahuna. Before I go on, just interesting. There's a story that's said over. We know if it's true, but there's a story that's said over. Ramir Shapiro was once speaking to the Marsham, and he mentioned in passing that they had been thinking about, is there an Isser Mishim Yuara? Is it like showing off if a person gives matnas kahuna? You're not supposed to do things that show that you're so much better than the person next to you. And there was a question, is it Isser Mishim Yuara to give matnas kahuna when the minig is not to do it, and you want to go ahead and do it? And he says, oh, of course, go look at the Daki Vaisha in Hilchos Mezuzah, and you'll see that it is not a problem. Okay, well, but that was a surprise. Who's expecting to look in Hilchos Mezuzah? So looked in there in Siman Reish Pei Vav, and with the divergent impact is that there is no problem of Mishum Yuara to give Matnas Kahuna nowadays if you want to be more careful. So they said, so supposedly they said to Hashem, how do you know to connect this thing from Hilchos Mezuzah to over here? So he said to them, well, if you were to chazer the Torah 101 times like I did, then it wouldn't be a surprise to you that you should know what this is. Okay, anyhow, back to where we were. So again, there were always Yechidei Segula who did this, who gave Matnas Kahuna even in the Chutz Arts. He says, but what I said, V'chei Nagu means is to say is, the Gemara brings out that the Nog Am Kahani Tla Sabi, we did like these three Sabi, and including in them, according to this, is that you don't have to give Matnas Kahuna in Chutz Arts, even though seemingly it's a din that's Mitzvah Tulib Arts. In fact, that's what the minig is. And a few years ago, about 5 years ago, we surveyed a whole number of Rabbanim who were involved in Hashgacha of Meat and said to them, is that the minig? In fact, that's a minig. And every one of them, a whole bunch of them, you know, all different types of backgrounds, different Hashgachas involved in meat, all said that in fact that's correct and that's what you should do. And so that's why, in fact, you don't see anybody in the Chutzlaritz that we're familiar with giving Matnas Kahuna on a regular basis. And you walk into a supermarket, you could buy cheek meat and parts, lots of meat from the forearms or tongue, etc. Okay, now while we have time, I'll mention something else, not related to Israel Chaim Keva, which is about the din of the Korkavan, and that is that Shulchan Aruch says that certain parts of the animal, certain parts of the digestive parts of the animal, are considered to not have dam in them. There's no issue, they do not need melichatan. And that includes the kishkas and the keres, that's the first stomach, the rumen, the first stomach of the animal, and certain other parts don't have any blood in them, you don't have to do melichatan. Okay, and the Rama argues, I mean, he agrees that there are certain parts that don't need melicha, the kishkas, but he says that the keres does, in fact, the keres does, to the point that even in cases of the yevid, you should be machmer and assume that hadam, you didn't do melicha, then that food is treif. So, that's all talking about an animal, not talking about a bird. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't tell us whether this din applies to a bird also. It just talks about for an animal. So, in a animal, the way the digestion happens is the food goes down the veshet, the esophagus, and it goes to four stomachs. First is the keres, basic choices, back up to the mouth to be chewed again, to be chewed the second time, then down to the hemsis, and then to the keva, that's the last stomach. So the keres, the first stomach, is before digestion. Digestion doesn't happen basically until the fourth stomach, the keva. In a bird, it's not like that at all, but in a bird, the food goes into the zefeg, that's a crop, first. That's like a pouch that holds undigested food, sort of like a storage pouch. And from there, it goes into the, it makes its way, when the bird is ready to eat, to take it in, it goes to the korkovan. The korkovan, otherwise known as a gizzard in English, or in Yiddish, the puppet. And that's more like the stomach part of the bird, where the digestion happens. Okay, so the zephyr is a earlier place where the food just gets held before it gets into the korkovan, which is where it gets digested. So, in a chicken, the korkovan, when you shecht an animal, the shecht a chicken, it's like the size of a golf ball, and in a turkey, it's more like the size of a tennis ball. Okay, anyhow, so the Drisha says that he brings raya from a Gemara, that a korkovan for a bird is like a keres, is like the keres for the animal. And that there's no dominant. He says you don't have to worry about dominant. It does not need melicha to it. Okay. So the Taz and the Shach and others argue that first of all they have rayas to the opposite. That in fact that there is dam in the korkovan. That's one angle. And they said is anyhow. Remember the Rama says he argues about the keres also. The keres is more straightforward that there should be no dam. So the Rama argues on the keres. So okay, let them be the same. Okay. The Rama argued that on the korkovan also. So consensus of the pesukim is to be machmir and to say that you have to. Kasher, you have to do melichim to a korkovan, and the Prima Gaon says to the point where we're so makbid on this that if the Eved there was a suffix or some kind of a shayla, we would not consider the priesthood to even be a suffix, to make like a fake out of it. And we would say, no, it has dam, and it's a kasher like any other piece of meat. Okay, now, and they point out, the Bach says it, and the Bach and the Shach say, it's hard to understand really what the Mekilim think about this, because the Korban on the inside is like a membrane, in a sense like a keres, but on the outside it's a muscle, it's for digesting, and it looks like regular meat, like any other meat. The Bach says, keeping the chazin and the basar gomeru, it looks like plain old meat. The Shach says, shari enini roisi yesh dam harbi bekorban, so it's not exactly clear how the Mekilim would think that there's no dam. But again, the din is, we assume that it has dam and it needs to be kashered. Now, when you have a korban that you want to kasher, the korban, when you open it up, when you get to it, the inside of it is filled with this green, partially digested food. And Michaz Yaakov says that some people say that you need to remove all that green, whatever is in there, that pre-digested food, or partially digested food out of the korban before you kasher it. And they have two reasons for that. One is that that stuff has no blood in it. So when you do the kashering of the meat, blood is going to leach out of the meat. The meat won't reabsorb blood because I've tarred the mifle lebala. While it's giving out blood, it won't absorb blood back in. But the food that's on the inside, if not giving out any blood, it will absorb. That's one reason to take the green stuff out. And the second reason is because we're supposed to have salt on both sides of the meat, not just on one side. So over here, there's no salt on the inside because it's stuffed up with all this green stuff. So the Mechazach of Be'etzen thinks that those are not correct. He has reasons to argue on those. I think that those are not legitimate reasons to have to take this stuff out. But in the end, he says that you should be makbid on it, to the point that, again, he would ask them to give you the evidence if you didn't take the green stuff out. The Chofetz Chaim says, no, I don't hear that. He says, this stuff is not royal achila. How could that aser something else? He doesn't believe in it so much. He says, but the evidence should not make a difference if the green stuff was not taken out. So Lamaisa is, in practice, before the kasher korban, they do take the green stuff out. But in a number of shechitas, the people who do that are not, there's no mashgiach watching them, there's no one paying any attention to whether it's really taken out or not. And I'm guessing that the reason why they're not so makbid on it is because, first of all, by the time that the korkavans come to them for the malicha, there is a mashgiach there, keeping on that. So probably, if the green stuff was still in there, he would notice it. It's pretty obvious if it's in there. You know, once it's cut open, it's pretty obvious if you didn't take the green stuff out. Lamaisa, the company, for their own reasons, wants to get that stuff out because no one wants to sell it to consumers with it there. Anyhow, there's a Chacham Zalman who holds that you're not mukhiv to get it out. Anyhow, at least, but yeah, you're not mukhiv to get it out. So there's two other dinim. I'll mention the korkavan. Two other dinim relate to the korkavan. One is that we mentioned way back when that one of the simoni kashras for a bird is if its korkavan is niklef biyad, which is to say is the korkavan, as I mentioned, is a muscle on the outside, and on the inside it has a white like layer on the inside, like a membrane on the inside. And if you can separate those two layers by hand, just your fingers, just pull them apart from each other, that's one of the simoni kashas for a bird, in the korkavan. And the other one is that if a bird has a hole in its korkavan, through and through the korkavan and through the outer layer of the muscle of it also, then the bird's a trefa. And in some shechitas, they actually have a boitet who one of his jobs is to check it. He just sort of like gives a squeeze to the korkavan and to see if there's something in there, like the bird might have swallowed a nail or a piece of wood, which is the thing that could potentially make a hole, and he would check out to see if the birds are trefa. We actually recently just heard of a case where a bird broke through the floor, they pecked through the floor of their hen house, and their chicken coop, and they ended up finding rocks and glass underneath it, and basically ruined the whole flock. They ended up having glass in their korkavans, and ended up being trefas. But again, so there are some places that check it out to make sure the bird is not a trefa.